On this episode, you will learn maximizing travel tax deductions. First, how to write off a weekend getaway. Next, how to write off food when you did not eat on your business trip. And lastly, we end with important retirement deadlines that are coming up soon. As always, if this episode helped you, brings you value in any way, please do me a favor and share it with a friend. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now, here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. And there's two show formats here. The first one is like today. It's a solo episode where we can go really deep on different topics with money, tax, wealth management, things like that. And then other times we bring on a guest who an expert or colleague in your space, either they're an expert that supports your industry, like similar to myself, and or they're exactly like you and they're a colleague in the online space. And they're going to talk about some of the things that they've done well or had challenges that they've overcome. Obviously, you clicked on this, so you realize today is a solo episode. And it's all about how to maximize your deductions, your tax deductions for when you're traveling. And so the first place that we want to start is like, what is a travel deduction? The most important component is you need to have a business purpose. So what are types of business purposes? Obviously, if you are specifically going on a business trip, then that is your business purpose in and of itself. But as business owners, one of the things that is a nice perk is that you can turn a lot of your what would be a personal vacation into a write-off because you make sure there's a business purpose. So for example, if you know you have to go visit a client in Miami, then what do you need to do to turn the rest of that trip into a vacation? So before, I'll just give you a few examples like that. Again, you might be visiting a client or you're flying to meet a prospect in a city. Then the question is, all right, you have the business purpose. What do we need to do to maximize those deductions? So that's what we'll talk about today. So you might be meeting a vendor. If you have a collaboration photo shoot or something like that, that would count as a business purpose. If you're attending any sort of educational events, conferences, workshop, business retreats, those are business purposes that you can build a bit of a vacation around. And I'll go into that in a minute. If you're checking on, if you don't have an operational business, but you have rental real estate, go to check on a rental property. Anyone who has an LLC, an S corp, things like that, you can have your annual board of advisor meeting somewhere that is a destination. And of course, bringing the people who are on your board of advisors, it allows you to maximize the deduction for them if they're friends or family. So let's talk about, those are just, obviously there's a few other reasons that you can turn a trip into a business trip. But now let's talk about the logistics. So now that we've established we have a business purpose, that allows the flight and your commute to the airport to be a write-off because you have to get to that destination regardless. So the flight's 100% written off, your Airbnb, I'm going to say your Uber, your Lyft, taxi, whatever, that those will all be 100% write-offs. Where it gets challenging is with the hotel stay. So, and I should also mention, for something to be considered a business purpose, you need to have done, if you're meeting somebody, that has to happen there. That's a business purpose. That's a business day. But if you're just doing business somewhere, you're supposed to have 4 hours in one given day for it to count as a business day. So now, what counts as a business trip in terms of the IRS? The IRS allows you to have a travel day on either side of your business trip. So if you have a Wednesday meeting in Miami, let's say I'm in Vegas. Well, a lot of the examples are probably going to be Miami and Vegas. If you have a business trip in Miami, it's allowed by the IRS that Wednesday is the meeting, Tuesday is a travel day, and Thursday is a travel day. So if in terms of the hotel, you'd be able to check in that day. Sorry, you could check in on Tuesday night and check out Thursday morning. The IRS assumes that's pretty reasonable. Now, if you were trying to stay the whole weekend, you have to bookend it. Now, this is critical because if you want to write off your hotel for Saturday and Sunday, you need to have business meeting or purpose on Friday and again on Monday. That's critical. So if you want to book in that weekend, again, you need to have legitimate business on Friday and Monday. That allows your business trip to start on Thursday and go to the following Tuesday, because again, you get to bookend those days. But if you want to write off that weekend trip, the IRS expects, like, hey, if this person has a Friday meeting and a Monday meeting, we're not expecting them to fly back and forth. So you get to take the weekend and write everything off in between. So that's how it works with the hotel. Today's episode is going to be a little bit quicker because I wanted to just get this out. But now let's talk quickly about record keeping. So from an audit perspective, it's important that you don't delete things from your calendar, because they're going to want proof that there was business purpose. So it's going to be helpful evidence if inside of your calendar, whether that's Google Calendar, Outlook, whatever you're using, that you don't delete those events. So keep all the information about who you met with, what it was about, your CRM might have all this information anyway, but it's good housekeeping to not start deleting things off, because you might get called into an audit and they're looking back, like, why did you have to go to Miami, May 5th or whatever? And then you have to look it back and justify it. And obviously, the more information you have on your end, the stronger your argument is that you didn't take a vacation because you know why you were there. Now let's talk about meals, because this gets overlooked a lot. And it's a pretty cool feature or tax deduction, especially for the fitness industry, because maybe when you're out and about, you're not racking up expensive food bills because maybe you're meal prepping and carrying everything yourself. So you're like, well, I don't get a write-off for food because I went grocery shopping and packed everything for my business trip. And again, that wouldn't count because, again, you just went grocery shopping and then you went on a business trip. But there is something you can do, and they're called per diems. The way that works is, this is also a little hack for people who aren't great at keeping receipts. When you travel somewhere, the IRS has a whole table that depending on what city you're in, how much food should cost. So if you're traveling to a certain destination, and let's say hypothetically, you don't spend any money, you can still take this per diem rate and deduct it from a business perspective. You don't need a receipt. You don't need anything. You could pay cash. And so if you didn't spend the money, you can still write off that larger amount and basically come out ahead. Or if you're someone in the fitness space and you're always packing your meals so that you can stay on point while you travel, you can take these per diem rates while you travel. Now let me break it down how it works. So like I said before, when it comes to travel, you get a travel day, and then while you're doing business, the IRS calls that like a business day, and then you travel back. So the rates will change. Now I'm going to link to this in the show notes, but you can find out the rate for whatever city you're in. It's called gsa.gov, and they have all the rates based on the year. You just put in the zip code and the year, and it'll tell you what the rate is where you're going. So I'm going to read off Vegas, since obviously a lot of people travel here, but also that's where I live, so it just makes it easier. So if you're going to travel to Vegas right now in 2023, as I'm recording this, your travel day is just under $52. It's $51.75. Then your meals on your business day is $69. So if you spend less than $69, you can take the 69. If you spend more than $69, then you take what you actually did. Like if you went to one of like the steakhouses here and you spent 200, well, that's still legitimate business travel expense and you would take the 200. But this little tax hack or travel hack is really more for people who are not spending much, especially on the travel days. This is because, like, I don't know about you, but for me, if it's a travel day, I don't eat as much. Like, I'll sit there and eat at the airport per se, then maybe one more time when I get to my destination. Or if I'm traveling by car, I mean, it's not healthy, but a lot of times I'm just stopping at fast food places. So a full day of eating might have been like $20. And if I was driving to Vegas from, I don't know, Salt Lake City or something like that, I would get just under $52, and I might have only spent 20 or 30 in fast food in that 5 or 6 hour drive. So for me, I would end up ahead of the game because I didn't spend all the whole amount. Then once you're in your destination, it's reasonable that you didn't have the full amount, or I'm sorry, that you far exceeded your per diem. And this is, again, especially if you're by yourself, like you can still go to a steakhouse and spend like $100 by yourself. But here's where it gets a little bit cooler again for while you're at the place. That number I gave you of 69 in Vegas, it's actually broken down into three components. It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So here's why that's pretty cool. Let's say you're traveling into Vegas for an event, and maybe for breakfast, maybe you're not a breakfast person, so you just have a coffee at the event. And maybe they have some donuts or something. And maybe lunch is provided. So inside of these per diems, in Vegas, you get $16 for breakfast, $17 for lunch, and $31 for dinner. So in that hypothetical, you just went downstairs to the event and you got coffee and they gave you snacks and donuts or whatever. So you didn't spend anything. You can take the $16. Then same thing, they provided you lunch, so you didn't spend anything. You can take the $17. Then they cut you loose, you're on your own for dinner, and maybe that's where you spend $100. Then you can deduct the dinner. So you can take that per diem as you need it so that you can win no matter what. So if you have a free breakfast, free lunch, take the two per diems. And then you're on your own, you go out and have a nice expensive meal. That's when you take the actual and you record it, take the photo of receipt, do all the normal stuff you do for business travel. This is a perk or a hack, for lack of a better term, when you're not spending much. And for all my fitness entrepreneurs listening, if you're a competitor or just like to stay healthy when you travel, because traveling, like I know personally, I tend to get lazy while I travel and use that as an excuse to cheat and eat whatever I want. But if that's not you and you're pretty good at bringing your meals, this is a great hack for you to still get meal deductions while you're out and about. So make sure you let your bookkeeper or your accountant know, because that's a critical component of this. Because especially if you're using, let me try to think the best way to put it. You need to do bookkeeping on something that didn't happen. Like normally bookkeeping is making a record of transactions that occurred. So they're going to see it in some capacity, like either on a credit card statement or through a payment processor, somehow a bank account. Or if you spent cash, usually you might be able to say, I spent money. But in these scenarios, you might be asking them to record what did not happen. You'd be like, hey, I just went to Vegas and I didn't take breakfast or lunch. So use the per diems there. So they have to make transaction or journal entries for events that did not occur. So that might get lost in time. And I've had some bookkeeping professionals be like, oh, like they hate this one because it could potentially add up to a lot of transactions for them. And, you know, in my opinion, I think like every little bit counts as long as you're not going overboard, making it complicated. So you got to make it easier on your bookkeeper by keeping track of this stuff and saying, hey, this is where I went, and maybe itemizing it or whatever. But if you do this throughout the course of the year, bookending every trip you have, this could really add up, again, on just using Vegas as an example, on your two travel days, it's almost $52 each day. So however often you travel, that's $100 right there. If you're doing that 20 times or so, that's real money. And again, that's just one tax strategy of the dozens or over 100 plus that at least I checked that most tax planners are looking at all of that. So that's just a quick reminder that, you know, do your best to turn personal travel into legitimate business trips, because then you can take the hotel, you can take the meals, you take the Ubers, everything involved with being where you need to go. Now, we went through that pretty quickly. I said this would be a quick episode, so I want to take the remainder. You know, usually these episodes can be 30 to an hour, but as I'm recording this, it's the middle of March 2023. So I want to give you guys a reminder, and I definitely have episodes in the past about this, but let me see if I can give you the full. It's probably about this time last year. I can't find it on my list real quick, but basically I wanted to remind you that the deadline to do your retirement account contributions for 2022 is this tax deadline of 4/18. Normally, it's obviously the 15th, but because it fell on a holiday, it's April 18th of 2023. But why that's important is because you can make your contributions for last year, meaning 2022, into your retirement accounts up until the tax deadline. Regardless of if you take an extension, you can still put this in. Regardless if you take an extension, this is still your deadline. So if you file an extension and you push your tax deadline out to October, that's cool. I totally recommend that actually, because you decrease your audit risk to do so. Now, you saw your taxes. I've talked about it on multiple episodes, but I'll say it again for hopefully a new listener. Extending your filing, meaning the paperwork that you send into the IRS, you can extend that, no problem. But that does not extend the payments that you are that you owe. So just keep that in mind. You can file that extension, totally cool, but you still owe the money on April 18th. And that's a perfect correlation, because 18th is the last day to put your money into a health savings account. These are for 2022 contributions, which I highly recommend, because then you can turn your attention to 2023. So you still have the opportunity to put the money in for last year and not use up your 2023 limits. So HSA, the health savings account, that contribution is due April 18th. Your traditional IRA, your Roth IRA, or your backdoor IRA, those are all the same thing. They are due on the 18th. Now, if the maximum amount that you can put in for last year is $6,000 for the IRA, Roth IRA, or backdoor total. So if for whatever reason you did half IRA and half Roth IRA, you can only do $3,000 each for six total. You can't do six and six and try to put 12 in. That's against the rules. But for each one of those, the deadline is the 18th. The SEP IRA, the deadline is also April 18th, unless you do file that extension. That's the only one on this list here that you get the extra time if you file the extension. I've had other episodes where I talked about the SEP IRA versus the solo 401k. I would talk to your tax advisor. More often than not, the solo 401k is going to work out better for entrepreneurs that have no employees. But you might be using the SEP IRA just out of necessity because it's cheaper and easier. But if you're trying to maximize what you can do and have a lot of more flexibility, typically you want to go with the solo 401k. But that may not be the case for you. Talk to somebody about that. Talk to a tax advisor about that. So, all right, guys, this episode is probably going to air later in the week than normal. So apologize for that. I got to try to get these back on schedule. Got an announcement coming up in probably a week or two's episode that I'm pretty excited about. I'm going to share with you guys. But have an awesome week. Thanks for tuning in again. I'll talk to you next time. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram at ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.